been doing weeks and months, about a year, on the tabernacle of Moses. And we've gone through it in quite close detail. And some might be delighted that tonight is the last night. This is the final instalment of the high priest's clothing. And we're looking at the breeches. And in Exodus chapter 28, verses 42 and 30. Let's have a look at Exodus 28. Exodus chapter 28, verse 42.
You shall make for them linen breeches to cover their bare flesh. They shall reach from the loins even to the thighs.
That's it. That was God's instruction for the final completion of the high priest's clothing when he went into the tabernacle. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for your word and the instruction that we get from your word, Lord, that is just as so many, it's so relevant to today. Nothing changes, there's nothing new under the sun. And Lord, I thank you that your word addresses every area of our lives. And I pray tonight, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll just give me that freedom and that anointing in you just to flow with this. And Lord, may our hearts be good ground to receive the word, that we may learn what you're wanting to say to us tonight and to put it into operation in Jesus' name. Amen. God's instruction for the priesthood was an undergarment called the breeches, and it fitted from the waist to the loins, which is just the top of the legs, and they're like a huge pair of pants. And they were to be in white linen, and this was in keeping with the rest of the garment. If you remember, he had his undergarment was white linen from his neck to his feet, and the mitre and the bonnet and the veil behind it was all white linen on his head. And the golden plate said holiness to the Lord, and the undergarments here we see were of the same material. It was, if you remember, the longest garment, the white linen coat was of damask, a beautiful embroidered linen into the fabric. If you've ever seen damask, we talked about it at the time, didn't we? Get damask tablecloths, and they're absolutely gorgeous, the fabric, and that's what the linen coat was like. But these were just plain linen garments, and this was the significance of this was that holiness was to cover every part of the high priest, his thoughts, his heart, his flesh. The whole of his flesh had to be pure when he went into the presence of God, because if it wasn't, it meant certain death. So here's the lesson then. This apparently is in complete contrast to the heathen nations in which they were living amongst. The heathen nations, when they went into the temple of their gods, very often they didn't wear undergarments, and the whole worship of their gods was obscenity and very, very sensual. And God set a very strong, firm line here and said, we're having none of that. My ways are completely opposite to the world's ways. These are God's ways. And God calls for purity and holiness. In us, even in this day, God is saying, I have a pure, I want a pure and a holy people. Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21.
Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
That's it. It's obvious what the fruit, the acts of the sinful nature are. And the people who act that way, I think all you have to do is walk into town on a Friday or a Saturday night and you'll see it in full-blown, multi-technicolour. But that's not the kingdom of God, and yet we would all be there if it was not for God. Because Paul says, for I know in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So man's carnal nature always wants to rise to the surface. And without the Spirit of God within us, it's going to rule in our lives. And there's only the Spirit of God that can counteract this evil carnal nature, the desires of the flesh. If we remember Adam and Eve, they were deceived by Satan, weren't they? It was the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life which got them. They were focusing on the wrong things. They'd completely forgotten God's word. And it's so easy when there's something glaring in front of you and looking very tantalising and appealing to suddenly forget that what God says. And he didn't say it to give you so that you're not going to enjoy life. He's saying it to you for your own good, because he knows that sin will destroy us ultimately. And he doesn't want us to be destroyed. And he's saying, keep your eyes pure. Don't keep any evil thing in front of your eyes. Just keep yourself pure. But to Adam and Eve, he said to them not to eat of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. And of course the devil tempted them, and he was just, he knew where to appeal, didn't he? He knew how to get them to cave in. Did God say? And I think, you know, we compromise and we lose out so much because we doubt God's word. Did God say? But my body says, I'm sick. Did God say I'm healed? My body says I'm sick. Did God say I'm healed? And with this double-mindedness, isn't there? We've got to come to the point where there's no compromise to the word of God. If God says it, it's for our good and it's true. His word is truth. Mm-hmm. So in all our ways, we acknowledge him and he will direct our paths. His word has to be top priority in our lives. There can be no compromise. I look at, I think of the constant bombardment that you get through the media. It's just relentless, isn't it? You know, you can be watching something on telly and the adverts come on. And I remember an advert for a mouthwash, Corsadil. And there's this woman completely naked. And I'm thinking, what has her naked body got to do with Corsadil? And then it shows you at the top a tooth missing because she neglected hygiene and, you know, to use Corsadil. And the loosest way that they can use, just draw us in all the time to uncleanness and just sensual advertising is just not called for. But it's hard to avoid it sometimes. But if it's not that, it's the must-have items at this time on the telly, Christmas. Oh dear, poor kids. If they're ever watching their programmes, Mum, I've got to have this, I've got to have this, we've got to have this. It's all done purposely, isn't it? To sell, sell, sell. They don't care. There are no principles on how they do it. They just want to sell their goods. And they'll appeal from the oldest to the youngest in their audience. They don't care who they get. And there's the internet and the social networking, and that's not all bad, not by any means. There's some really good informative, useful stuff on there, and it's a really good tool for Christian witness and to promote Christianity. But there's always the dark side, isn't there? And we see so much of the dark side, and it can be, there's many destructive snares on the internet, and we just need to see. God says, I need to keep my eyes pure, because here is the gate for the soul, and I don't need this corrupting. I need to, if this is where it starts and it gets into the thoughts, and it's just a downward spiral from then on. And God's saying, keep away from all forms of evil. If you want to stay clean, read Psalm 119. It's full of instruction how to stay clean. And one of the verses, we're not going to read it now, but Psalm 119 verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? And he says, by living according to your word. God, we've got to keep your word ever before us so that we don't sin. David says, I keep my word ever before you so that I might not sin against you. We can do it so easily. The devil knows how to snare you, you know, just how to trip you up. And we need to have our minds built up and strengthened by the word of God. So, yeah, how to avoid being snared by evil. Read Psalm 119. It's a long, long psalm. Well, by the time you've finished it, you'll know, you'll get the message. This is what God's saying, and this is wise advice. This is godly advice. This is winning advice. This is the how-to, not getting snared by the devil. If you remember, Adam and Eve, when they'd fallen from grace, they realised that they were naked and then tried to make homemade garments, didn't they? They tried to make them of fig leaves. But, hey, God knew. They didn't kid God. They were trying to try and think that, well, God might not notice. But God very much knew before he even saw them what they'd done. He's fully aware of what we're doing. He's fully aware of what's even going on in our minds. He knows what we're going to say before we open our mouths. That's how closely God is watching us. That's how closely he's aware of the temptation and what we need and what we don't need. And he's following us. He knows our innermost thoughts. And he knew Adam and Eve's innermost thoughts, and he knew what they'd tried to do and how they'd tried to cover themselves, cover their sin. But there's no... You can't cover sin. It has to be done away with. It has to be overcome and destroyed. It has to be killed. And we don't have the power to do it. But this covering represents the law. The law covers, but it's weak in one way. It relies on human nature to fulfil it. Well, it's failed. It's doomed for disaster because we can't keep the law. The law is all about trying to gain righteousness by self-effort. It will not work. Paul says that the law makes sin stronger. The force of sin is the law. And why is it? Because it's self-effort. You tell a man or a woman, and when I say man, I'm not just speaking of men, I'm speaking of humanity. Even to children, you tell a child not to do something, and what's the reaction? I'll do it. No, we keep saying, but they're trotting off to do it. And that's human nature. And it's something in us that when we're told we can't do something, we crave to do it. And that's where the law is weak, because it tells us what we can't do, and immediately we think, God didn't know best, I know best, I'm going to do it. Uh-oh, the warning bell should be ringing, it won't work, it's doomed to failure. And another interesting thing is, the more, the stronger the passion gets, when we fight against this, it becomes stronger. And I thought about this and I thought, yeah, because when you're physically, when you are fighting something, it's got your attention completely, isn't it? You're focused. It's there in front of you all the time. And it's like worry. Worry, it's there in your face all the time and you can't get it out of your mind, or you just can't sleep for it. It's there at the front of your face all the time wanting your attention. And that's what it's like when you're trying to overcome sin in the natural. Because you're all the time fighting against it, you're not winning, you're losing and it's getting stronger because it's got your attention. And that's why God says when you worry, when you're anxious about something, he said, don't be anxious about anything. He said, give it to me and then forget about it. Now, is that wise advice? Because immediately we give it to God, we know he's taking it and we can forget about it. And then we're not bombarded by the devil with what if, what if. It's out your mind, it's gone, your attention is off it, and so it's getting weaker and weaker, and your faith and your strength in God is stronger and stronger. So there are really good principles here. We need to know how to defeat the devil and not be prey to his ways. Our corrupt human nature cannot overcome sin in the flesh, in the mind, in the heart. It is impossible. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28.
Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Here Jesus saying is, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden. In other words, all you that are living under the law, all you that are trying to do it by yourself, all you that are applying your will and your mind to achieve this, don't bother, because you'll be weary and heavy laden. It won't work. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. And he's saying, I know, I understand, it's impossible by the law to defeat sin, but there is a way. And if you remember, Jesus is our great high priest. He took everything for us. He bore all our sin, heart, thought, the whole of our flesh, the whole of our humanity. Jesus bore it on the cross and he overcame it, he destroyed it. And now the only way to become victorious is the life through the Spirit of God. His life in us. We all came to a point, didn't we, where we realised that in ourselves we could never reach God. And we had to invite Jesus Christ into our hearts to come and rule and reign in our lives. We had to give ourselves to Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, I can't do everything that to overcome sin. I'm just hopeless here. But I know that when you come into my heart and into my life, you change me from the inside out. And it's only by that power, the power of the Spirit of God, can we ever overcome the evil one and the corruption and sin that is there in our lives. So it's depending. Life in the Spirit is about depending on the power of God that's within us. And he came into our hearts when we invited him and said, come Lord Jesus and change me. And he does, he changes us from the inside out. He set us free from the power of sin. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1.
It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Yeah. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery.
That's beautiful. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's a done deal. He's not going to do it. He's done it. The minute you were born again, he set you free from sin, from the power of sin. It has no hold of you. And he said about the bondage is referring to the law. Previously, you were trying to do it yourself. Previously, you were following the law and legalism. But I know that made you weary and heavy laden. Now come to me and I'll show you the way of rest. I'll show you the way of peace. I'll show you the easy way. The easy way is to let me live in you and let me live through you and submit to me. That same chapter, verse 16, firms up again what he says in verse 1.
But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh.
It's so simple, isn't it? Walk by the Spirit, and you'll not fulfil the desire of the flesh. I was thinking, obedience is another thing that is very important to God. If God tells you to do something, as we've said previously, there is a reason for it, and it's for your good. It's not to cramp your style. It's to give you a full life and a good life, and not let the devil take you out early or bring sickness and disease upon you. We're to walk in obedience. Andrew covered this. Maybe God's reinforcing something here today. But Andrew was covering obedience on Sunday. He was talking about obedience and endurance and discipline and they're all key things in our Christian life. A lazy person is not a disciplined person, and they're not a person who will endure and persevere. They've just caved in. And that, if you look at the lads that have gone into Teen Challenge Rehab and into Carpenter's Art, that's their lifestyle. Mm. That's the way they are, and that's why they're the way they are. Because there's no discipline in the lives. They don't want to obey anybody. They want to be rebellious. And there's no perseverance there. And that's why Teen Challenge is really hard for them. And I think Stephen and Sandy are going through it at the minute. Because they've got to be got into a discipline. Uh-huh. They've got to be. But they have to have endurance. Because if they don't stick at it, if they quit, they'll go right back to where they were. And there's no freedom without discipline, obedience and endurance. Those three things are vital for us to succeed. And we've got all the ability to do that because God is working in us and he has equipped us to do it. He's not asking us to do it in our own strength. And where we're weak, all we've got to do is say, God, I need to do this and I can't do it. So you're in me. I submit to you. You do it through me. You empower me to succeed in this because in my flesh I can't do it and none of us can. But yeah, it takes 12 months with some of them, doesn't it? In fact, the minimum is 12 months because it takes that long to get this mind renewed and to get the body into a habit and a lifestyle, a completely different lifestyle to where they've come from. And it takes time and it takes endurance. But if they'll stay the course, they come out different people. And in those 12 months, they are taught the Word of God almost 12 hours a day. They're renewing the minds. They're renewing the lifestyle. It's a complete mental, physical, emotional transformation that the Word of God is bringing about in their lives. But it takes that to get the result, the freedom that is needed. It's so easy for us to get drawn back. And I think we saw that with Stephen. He said, I can do this. I can beat this. And for a while, he did seem to be doing good. And then all of a sudden, bang, crash, wallop, down he came tumbling because he was trying to do it in his own strength. And now he's in a place where there's people supporting him and cheering him on and encouraging him and saying, we've been there, done that, it works, keep at it, go for it. Mm-hmm. And that's what the body's about, isn't it? If we're all of one mind and one purpose, mm-hmm. and if we'll not compromise and we'll say, God, I want to go for more. I don't want to live in the natural realm. I want to live in the spirit realm. I want to know that the Spirit of God is the Spirit that's working through me, that's taking me to a higher level. There needs to be a difference, I believe, between the people of God and the people of the world. We need to stand out. And it's so easy for us in our daily lives to get dragged down into the natural realm because we're surrounded by it all the time. And we get to, sometimes we find ourselves talking quite innocently, saying things that, hey, just a minute, that's contrary to God's word. This is not what God says. This is what the world says. But this is not what God says. You know, we can sit there and say, oh, I'm sick. But God's saying, no, you're not. You're healed. I healed you when I saved you. Are you going to believe? Are you going to believe your body? Are you going to believe what the world says? Or are you going to believe what I say? We have choices. God's word is truth, as we've said before. And there can be no compromise. So I'd like us to read Romans 8 and verse 11. The power of God has been broken over our lives. And Paul makes it very clear in the Gospels and in the Epistles. It's just so clear. I can't get away from the scriptures how many there are that tells me the power of darkness has been broken over us.
But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you.
Yeah. Is there anything clearer than that? His spirit within us gives us life. It's that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that quickens our mortal bodies. If any of us are in need of healing, we need to focus and meditate these scriptures. Jesus became a curse for us. Cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. So the curse, what does the curse involve? Not just sickness. It involves poverty, lack, want. Every area, emotional, stress, fear, anxiety. There wasn't anything that our great high priest didn't cover on the cross. And he said to me, I've conquered everything for you, that you might live in the spirit realm, that you might submit to my spirit and go higher and higher. But you're only going to go higher and higher as you 24/7 focus on me, as you keep your eyes focused on me, as you keep my word in your heart. And if you have a desire to go higher, God will give it to you. But you have not, because you ask not. What do you want? You know, we need to desire. We need to really lust for the things of God, for the things of the Spirit. And God will not deny them to us, because he's already given them to us. But he has put within us also the ability to reach for them and to bring them into the natural. Verse 30 of Matthew 11. In fact, you can read it all. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, please.
Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Who wouldn't want to come to Jesus? Just who wouldn't want to listen to his word, to focus on his word, to obey his word, and to let him work his promises through you. You know, it's simple. It's not in a sense, but it is. If we would just let him live through us and not try and work. This mind gets in the way so much, and we get so bogged down with what we see and what we hear and what we feel. And God's saying, don't do that. Just take my word. Take my word. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And learn from me. Let me live through you. Let the Spirit of God do the work. Take the load. Just go on, walk on, and let me take the load. Let me do it, not you. And then you'll have great success. And I want us to finish finally by reading Romans 8, verses 1 to 14. I absolutely adore Romans 8. I thank God that even in this first verse it said there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. What he's saying is to all of us, I'm not condemning any of you, and I never will condemn you. All I'm saying to you is, let's go higher. Come on, let me live in you, and let my spirit make your yoke easy and your burden light. Oh, we won't want to exchange heaviness for that.
Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit.
Yeah.
For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
No.
However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you.
Amen.
But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you,
yes,
he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God.
Thank you, Bill. I think that makes it so clear, so plain, where the battle rages. And we need to know and just focus on who lives within us. And if God lives in me, is anything impossible? Nothing is impossible to God. So nothing is impossible to us. I was just reading this before I came out, and if you'll just bear with me, I'd like to just read it. It was a word for today from, I don't know when, but it caught my attention. And the heading is, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths." It's Proverbs 3 and verse 6. Oscar Wilde won scholarships and was educated in Britain's best schools. He was honoured as first in greats at Oxford. He was the toast of London. The British Heritage magazine called him our most quotable writer after Shakespeare. Yet his undisciplined living landed him in prison. From there he wrote, "I must say to myself that I ruined myself. Nobody great or small can be ruined except by his own hand. God has given me almost everything, but I let myself be lured into long spells of senselessness and sensual ease. I surrounded myself with smaller natures and meaner minds. I became the spendthrift of my own genius. To waste an eternal youth gave me a curious joy. Tired of being on the heights, I deliberately went to the depths in search of new sensations. Desire at the end was a malady or a madness or both. I forgot that every little action of the common day makes or unmakes character, and therefore what one has done in the secret chamber, one has some day to cry aloud on the housetop. I allowed pleasure to dominate me. I ended in horrible disgrace. There's only one thing for me now, absolute humility." In the end, Oscar Wilde lost his family, his fortune, his self-respect and his will to live. He died bankrupt and broken at the age of 46. I did it my way. God's given us a better way, the way of the Spirit. We can't do it in our own strength. This corrupt human nature can't do it, can't keep the law. Only by the Spirit of God. And we need to be fully aware of who is living in us, and that we are more than conquerors in him, and we can go to higher heights with him in the spirit realm. And he doesn't want us to live at the meagre, worldly level. He's saying, come on, I want a people who can shine in the darkness. I want a people who can stand out and they can say, you're different, because you don't struggle like I struggle. You're victorious. I want that victory. It's in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So it's open for anybody who's got comments or not. Or
well, Andrew Oldham's just started a new teaching on limiting God, because God told him that they were limiting him.
Yeah.
And he says it's in Psalm 78, I think it's verse 11, that he told, he said the Israelites limited him. And he said, even though he's been a pastor and done a lot of thinking on radio for years, seeing the end of people raised from the dead, God still said there were more to come. And so, of course, once he got it into his mind that he didn't know what we were going to take before he changed this.
There's the problem.
Years, but within a couple of weeks, it just, he was thinking, it started to get his mind changed, and everything went phenomenal. The money came in for the Charis Bible colleges all over the world and that, and things really took off. But he still said, God still told him again, about 11 years later, you still limited me, so it's going higher up. Yeah. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, aren't we?
That's what God wants for
down
us.
Down here, we were supposed to be moving all the time.
But I think we just get so complacent, don't we? We get in our, we keep saying it, comfort zone. And we're terrible creatures of getting into habits where we're comfortable and we're not wanting to anybody to shake our tree or move us out. But we need to be shaken because we need to move higher. I'm convinced God wants to see signs, wonders and miracles through us. But we've got to reach higher, we've got to push higher, we've got to say, God, I want this. Andrew wants it. I want it as much as he does. He wants to see people healed when he lays hands on them. But I want to see it too. I want to rise to those heights. And it's not about me, it's about the power of God. I want to see God at work. I want the world to see God at work, because that draws men and women to God. Jesus said, when I be lifted high, I will draw all men unto me. But if we don't desire it, we're not going to get it. And I don't want Harvest Fields to be a people of average spirituality. I want us to be exceptionally strong in the Spirit of God. Let's go for it. Let's go for it. He's in us. Eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for those who love him. We've got everything to go for, and the world needs to go for it with us, but they're not going to do it until they see it.
Well, I think it says in Isaiah 1, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land.
You will,
isn't it? So
yeah.
You've got to be obedient.
Obedience is the key. And you will.
It sounds so simple.
But it is. Joshua said to them, choose you this day or you will serve.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But I know where we're going and what we're going to do. I mean, look what they saw. Mighty signs and wonders. Look, I'm reading about Elisha at the minute and I'm thinking, oh God, take me there. And he's saying to you, are you willing? Are you going? Do you want it? Not when he knows what the king's saying in the bedchamber before. He knows what's going to happen even before it happens. God has prepared him and he's speaking, he's communing with God all the time and he's just challenging me.
He's in the spirit realm, don't he? Because he sees all that army around and servant.
He's not phased, is he? Because
no.
The only time God hid something from him was when the Shunammite's boy was he died, and when she came to him, he saw her approaching, and he said, "There's the Shunammite there. Something's wrong. God's not told me what it is." But it wasn't long before the Spirit of God made him aware of what was happening. And there's so many spiritual lessons in that story. I think I preached on it once, but I was inspired by it the other day and I thought, I need to do this again. It's really spurring me on. So, there's so much ground to possess. And we're in a new place. We've got so much ground to possess around here. And God's saying, will you get out of your comfort zone? Will you go higher? Will you come with me? I want you to reach new levels, new heights. It's going to take obedience. It's going to take courage. It's going to take endurance and perseverance, because the devil is not going to sit back and let it happen. He's going to probably hit your head on. But hey, he's not stronger than God who is within us. Is there anything stronger than God? No. There's nothing stronger than the power that lies within us. There's many a time I see universal stuff, and it's all that we send out to the shops, and lots of little cards and posters and things, and but it's all the time making us aware that the greater one lives in you. There's nothing stronger than what's within you, the Spirit of God within you. It's the strongest force in the universe, because he made the universe. And so he can make me, he made me, he can mend me, he can heal me, he can equip me. Even the sky's not the limit, is it? Higher and higher. Praise God. Anything else? Okay. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll not let the challenge rest. I pray that you'll continue to challenge us and remind us that you want us to go higher. And I believe, Lord, you're saying to us, choose you this day, who you will serve, what you want to do. Do you want to follow me? Do you want to go higher? And Lord, I'm saying, most definitely, I do. I pray, Father, that we shall respond to you in a positive way and let you take us higher, Lord, that we may see this town, this area, this town, this nation, one for Jesus. Amen. Amen.